Morning. Good to see everyone this morning. If you will, turn your psalm books to 545. 545. 545.
Beautiful robe so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there. Beautiful robe, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful thought to me, we shall forever be thine in eternity, when from this world we're free. Free from its toil and care, heavenly joys to share. Let me cross over there, this is my prayer. Beautiful robe, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful things on high, over in yonder sky, thus I shall leave this shore, counting my treasures o'er, where we shall never die. Carry me by and by, never to sorrow more, heavenly store. Beautiful robe, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there.
Let's go to God in prayer. Please stand. Almighty Father, which art in heaven, we are so thankful unto you today for being with us, that we can be here with good health. We pray for the less fortunate who need their health restored, so many. We pray for those who are having sickness and not feeling well. Help Holly get well, Father, has not been feeling good and going through things. Help my wife, Mary, get better and feel good. Help others, Father, so many. Margaret, get well, and just so many, God. And we pray that you'll be with us as we go through this service. Be with Daryl as he brings a lesson. Help us be sound listeners and learn the truth. And if there's anyone here who needs to obey the gospel, they would have that deep desire to be baptized into Christ. And God, forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 12, 38 through 40. Matthew 12, 38 through 40. The Bible says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." If you will, turn your psalm books to 328. Good to have Daryl with us speaker this morning, Karen. Looking forward to these lessons. 328.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Daryl.
Good morning. Glad everybody is taking the time to come here this morning, and we're glad that we were able to come over to be with you this morning. And we're going to talk about signs. And everybody here this morning paid attention to the signs that was between them here at this location and your residence where you came from. There were all kinds of signs that probably were along the road. You know, there was a song released in 1971 by a group known as the Five Man Electrical Band. It was called Signs. Sign, sign, everywhere was a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? And you know there's signs all over the place. We've even got signs here on the building. You know, when you come in the building, there's a sign. There's one of those signs back there that you know, tells you're not allowed to bring concealed weapons in with you. You know, right out here. No doubt there's a stop sign. Hopefully we all pay attention to it. But it's amazing the things that people don't pay attention to when it comes to signs anymore. And we've all seen that driving. And of course, one of the biggest ones of them is the stop sign itself. You know, stop signs, do not enter. Never do that. You talk to my wife, she can tell you two or three times we've been on vacation and I would make a turn in a town that I don't know. And all of a sudden, she says, didn't you see that sign? I said, no right turn. Oh, no, I didn't. And, you know, there you are going down the wrong way. You know, no turns on red one way. You know, the groceries or the fast food. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Now, I'm not going to ask the obvious question. I'll just let that ride. Of course, no guns. And for those of us who hunt, you always got to watch out for that no trespassing sign. Signs was things that God has used from the beginning of time. Some were verbal signs, some were mandatory signs. take time and turn over to the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. We'll begin at verse 10 here. As the Lord's telling Moses, he says to Moses in Exodus 19, beginning at 10, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash them their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You will set boundaries for the people all around." So all around Mount Sinai, there were boundaries that were set. "Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up on the mountain, nor touch its base, for whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, and he will surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man nor beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." Moses went down from the mountain, and he told the people. And he told the people what they were allowed to do. And notice a couple of things there in that first part of the reading that we took the time to read. You can't come to the mountain. You can't touch it. You can't even let your animals get on the mountain to graze. You can't come to this mountain at all. There is a boundary set there that the Lord God said, you don't cross. You don't cross that boundary. Other signs. We could think of verbal signs. God told Eve and Adam, you may eat of all the trees of the Garden of Eden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. You shall not touch it. And that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, they did. And from that point in time, man has died spiritually and physically. Let's look at some other signs that were given for people to look at and to see. Shepherds. Now, the children of Israel have been prophesied and told that there would be coming a Messiah, that the Savior of the world would come, and he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, here in the second chapter of the book of Luke, we find where a sign is given to the shepherds. Let's look at it here. Let's go back up to verse 8 here in Luke chapter 2. "And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields." Well, what country? Well, the area where Christ was going to be born, around the city of David, Bethlehem. And in that same country, that same area of Bethlehem, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, were shepherds. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and they were greatly afraid." They were greatly afraid. You ever been afraid? Did you ever have something that scared you? Shocked you? Get up from the chair and walk past somebody and touch them, and static electricity jumps from you to them. You walk out of a room and somebody standing there goes, boo, and scares you. And you jump. Well, this probably was a little bit more terrifying than that. All of a sudden, up there in the heavens, there is an angel appears, and the glory of God shining round about him. And he said to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For behold, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Great. The Messiah has come. Let's go into the city of David and find him. Well, where are we going to go? Well, we'll probably go to the, if they got one, a local hospital, wherever the ladies were having their babies, that's where we're going to go. The angel says, "No, that's not where you need to go. I'm going to tell you where to look. This will be the sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. So let's look at that in reverse. It says, first of all, you got to go to a place where there's livestock. You got to go to a place where cattle, sheep, goats, horses would be. Because you're going to find him, first of all, laying in a manger. Now, is that going to be unusual? Well, I don't know. All I know is that there probably was more than one baby born on that night. Most towns have, you know, where there's babies born, you know, one, two, three, who knows how many infants might have been born that day, that night. In a stable, in a barn, maybe in a cave where the livestock might have been kept. Well, if they were poor, yeah, maybe. Might have been other folks who didn't have very much. Remember, Bethlehem was crowded. There was no place for them in the inn, the innkeeper said. And what if there were just some poor people who naturally resided there? They might be taking care of some rich farmer's livestock and have them there. So they've got to go wherever that's at. So they got them to go, maybe. Well, they said they'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, this baby's not wrapped in swaddling clothes. Let's go over here and look. Oh, we found a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. So there were signs for the shepherds to look for. There were signs for them to know that they had the right Messiah, the right Son of God, the right Savior. Now we're going to take a minute to look at a fellow by the name of John the Baptizer. If you go over to the book of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 19, we find that there were signs given. If you go here to verse 19 of chapter 1, this is the testimony of John. And that's John, the writer of this book, not John the Baptizer. But John, this is John's testimony. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, and they asked him, being John the Baptizer, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Christ." "Well, then what then? Are you Elijah? Because it's been prophesied there would be one as Elijah coming before the Christ." But he said, "I'm not Elijah." "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." And they said, "Well, who are you, that we can give an answer to those who sent us?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the paths of the Lord,' as the prophet has said. And now in those days, they were sent from those from the Pharisees. And they asked them, says them, 'Why are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, or not the Elijah or the prophet?' But John continues on and he says, 'But I'm going to baptize you. I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you right here in your group today, right here where we are standing. There is one that you do not know. It is he coming after me that is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unloose.'" And then John goes on down in verse 29. "The next day, John the Baptizer, saw Jesus the Christ, coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom is said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. There were signs. One, the sign that John would be the forerunner of Christ. He said, I am the voice of one, as the prophet said. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then John said, I also saw a sign that tells me who the Christ is. And the sign was the dove coming out of heaven and lighting upon him. That's the sign. And John said, when I saw that, I knew that he was the one. He was the Messiah. The scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted a sign. As Tom read earlier from our fourth reading, they said, we want a sign from you. Can you give us a sign? Jesus said, there'll be no sign given you except for that of the prophet Jonah. He said, the prophet Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Christ was crucified, buried, and on the third day arose. A sign. But sometimes we don't pay any attention to signs. How many of you have paid attention to that red sign that has eight sides to it? I believe one, two, three, yeah, eight sides, I think. Called a stop sign. When my wife and I are coming home from Zanesville, of course, we'll come down to the intersection of U.S. Route 22 and State Route 93 there, just outside of Avondale. About all of us have traveled through that at one time or another. It's amazing the people that come down there. And there's that big old red sign sitting there. And it says stop. But evidently it says stop, but not you. And people just go right on through it. You've got one down here in New Lexington. I wish they would put these all over the state. The one that's got the lights around it, the blink. You know, that says stop. That doesn't mean like a yellow light that so many of us do. You know, proceed with caution. My wife says, you ran a red light. I said, no, it wasn't. It was yellow when I went under. I said, and it wasn't red because it was more rust colored by the time I got out of it. You know, stop signs. It says stop for a reason. And that's what it means. But just like us, and we paid oftentimes no attention to the stop signs, scribes and Pharisees didn't pay attention to the signs either. They didn't pay attention to the fact that John said, I saw the dove come out of heaven and light upon him. I mean, the scribes and Pharisees are standing there when he says this. They asked Christ, what's this, your sign? As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so I will be. They didn't pay attention to it. They went right ahead, hating Christ, hating the Jews. Even after Christ had risen and gone to heaven, they tried to persecute the church and did. They didn't pay attention to the signs. Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my followers because you're rich and you're wealthy. No. Because you're good at sports. No. Because you're the best cook there is in the area. No. Because you love one another. Now, he wasn't talking about necessarily the people outside of the church. He says, they're going to know that you're my followers because you love each other. You show kindness and love to each other. We all know people that don't get along. And I would say that we all know husbands and wives
that don't get along. How many times have you ever gone to the house of a couple that didn't get along, and even while you were there, all they did was bicker back and forth and squabble and complain? And then have you ever gone to a house where all there is love? You walk in the house, and just as the other house you walked into, you felt the tension. You walk into this house, you feel love. That's what it's supposed to be like when we're together. We're showing love to each other. And that should be a sign to the people that live in the area around here, to you, to your neighbors, that you love each other. That you love each other. Even people today want signs. People are continuously, from time to time, talking about the end of time. So let's just go over to the book of Matthew and take a few minutes to read a little bit here about what our Lord and Savior said about it here in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let's begin here at verse 38. Let's go back to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them away. And so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. So will be this, the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know that hour. You don't know when your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour that you don't expect. Let's jump back to verse 36 for a second, though. It's important to see all those other things before we actually take the time to look at verse 36. People want to know the end of time. People have, in our lifetime, sold everything and gone up on a mountain because there was an asteroid that was coming by, and that asteroid was going to take them to heaven. Well, they were still there, and the asteroid's still out there going wherever it's going. There are people who have, when this conflict began over in Israel this last time, talked about the end of time. Is this the becoming? Are we going to have Armageddon? What about it? Signs are given for everything, it seems like. But notice what Jesus says. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father. And King James uses the word my Father only, meaning it is singular. There is only but one person who knows when the end of time will come. And that is God, Jehovah the Father. Not even the Son knows. Not even the Son. So, what's all this telling you today? The signs are given. The signs are given that if you want to go to heaven, you must be a follower of the Lord. You must keep watch.
You do not know what day your Lord is coming. Christ tells us, forget the signs of what people are looking for. Forget the signs of this and that and the other that someone says, I know what the Bible says about the end of time. The only sign you need to worry about is what Christ said. You must be a follower of His. You must be a person who does what He commands. And what He has commanded and what He has told us is that we need to live for Him and do His will. We have to repent of our sins, confess Him as our Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, put Him on in baptism, and then live for Him. This morning, are you ready? Forget all those other signs. Signs that man has, signs that man has put out. Are you ready? If you are, then you're in good shape. If you're not, we would ask that you come and repent as we stand together and sing.
Five, five, two, please. Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day. God in His mercy comes, with His word He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and everywhere. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting Him face to face. Trusting Him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading Him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above.
I'd like to thank Daryl for a fine lesson this morning. As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, as we do each Lord's Day, please turn to 432. 432, please.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross,
be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, brings its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I'm having trouble hearing this morning, so I don't know how loud I am, and it's not easy singing, Tom. You can't hear yourself at all. And sounds like I'm in a barrel. But I'll try to keep my voice picked up. I think most of the time I'm too soft. So I'll try to keep that up. Thank Daryl for the lesson on signs. That goes very well with what we're studying in Revelations on Wednesday night, the signs and the symbols of Revelation. So good lesson. I appreciate that at this time. In our songbooks, we have a song, and Tom was saying he led this just a couple weeks ago, so you'll be familiar with it if you were here and sang that. 732, it asks the question, were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I'm just going to go down through the five verses here. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? I'll be there when the Savior calls my name. Were you there? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Makes you think about those that were there. So many in that crowd that was there watching the trial and the crucifixion did take part in that and saw some of the things that we read about. You think how many over the centuries have asked that question, were you there? And about what happened. You know, Julius Caesar was famous. But I don't think anyone's asking that about Julius Caesar. Were you there when he was slain? The tragedy that was? If we look at the people that were there at that time, I read some things on that, and I thought this was good. Points out some things to us. The blindness of the religious leaders who would not proclaim the truth of Christ. These were the people that had studied so much the Word of God, but yet they were not willing to proclaim that because of their blindness, because of things, the selfishness and things that they wanted. Another group was the selfish businessmen that were in the temple, making a profitable traffic, taking advantage of that profitable traffic in the courts of the temple. And what their motives were when they were watching all this going on. And of course, the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, who loves himself more than anything else, and about the money he got for doing it. And the political diplomacy, we see that today. Politicians trying to scheme and figure, well, how am I going to get the most votes for this or keep my power? We look to Pilate for that.
He did his best to try to get Jesus free, but then when he saw it might cost him his power, he just washed his hands of it. Don't want anything to do with this crime. And the crowd, what about the frenzy of the crowd that was yelling, crucify him? They were stirred up by people there that were probably pretty good at stirring people up in a crowd. And an innocent man is killed, murdered. And what about the disciples that had seen all those miracles and all those beautiful teachings that Christ gave? They were fearful and scattered and deserted him. Mankind was there with the common sins of then, but we're still here with the common sins we have. The same type things are going on in this world today. You just turn on the television, listen to an hour's newscast, and you'll hear things like this. And then who did they want, those that were there? They wanted Barabbas. He was guilty of murder and insurrection, and the people wanted him. And I looked up the name Barabbas means son of a rabbi. I don't know that he was, but at least his name meant that. He was famous, but famous for doing things that were sinful. While he was murdering people over his hate of the Romans, Jesus was teaching love your enemies. Every factor that was at the time of Christ's crucifixion, every sin, all the wickedness is still here in this world today. And we know it is. All we have to do is listen and watch. One of the things that the Last Supper that Jesus said, it really makes you think too. One of you shall betray me. What's the first thing that the apostles did, the disciples that were there? Is it I? Is it I, Lord? We can ask that today. How have we lived this last week? Have we let any sins creep into our lives? Have we repented of those? The next week, do we try to do better for the Lord? So it's something we can ask as well. Is it I, Lord? So this morning, as we gather together as Christ's disciples, as Christians, we remember that great sacrifice that he made for us. And the hope that we have as Christians, as we've talked about here this morning in Bible study, the hope that we have all because of our Savior. The Lord died for our sins, and that's what we remember this time. We have the emblem of the bread, which represents his body as it suffered and was put on the cross. And this fruit of the vine, which represents his precious blood that he shed for our sins. Let us go to God at this time. I would ask before we offer the prayer at this time, is there anyone that doesn't have the communion, we could get that for you. I forgot to do that. Glad to do that. Okay. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thanking this day for another day of life and the privilege we have, Father, coming here and worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth, our Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father. So thankful for Your love towards us and the great love that Christ had, that He went through all that He did on the cross for us. Help us, Father, to remember Him at this time and throughout our lives, the sacrifice that it took for our sins to be forgiven as we take of this bread which represents his body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for this cup containing the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood of Christ as he died upon that cross for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we come to another part of our worship, the giving. As wanting to be a New Testament church and do everything that the Church of Christ did in the first century, they gave upon the first day of the week as well as they've been prospered. And we do have a box in the back for you to put that in. At this time, let us go to God in prayer again. Our Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we come recognizing Thee as our Creator and all the things that are on earth that exist, You created on earth and elsewhere. We pray now, Father, that we give back to Thee a portion of that which You bless us with so bountifully each day of our lives. We're thankful for this day, Father. Help us to be grateful and recognize those things all around about us is because of You. We pray now that You'd be with this church, that we might be that light in this community to bring those good things that You have for us and to proclaim them, Father, in our lives. I ask You that You'd forgive us of our sins, Father, that we might try to continually grow in Christ and be better for the servants for Thee in the future. Help us to love the souls of those around about us, that we care enough to try to teach them Your word, Father, that they might be wanting to become a child of God and look forward for that heavenly home that You have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I might say to us, Jared is taping this today to get it on audio, and we're kind of experimenting and learning about that so we can do some of these things. Somebody's sick, like I had COVID and was out for a few weeks. I could have tried to get it on and seen that or heard it. We're starting out with the sound part. And one of the things he mentioned to me I just thought of, too, is up here, if that's on audio or on the computer, people don't know who you are. So I'm Jim Lanning, and I'll try to start doing that if we're going to tape these things. And as the speakers get up, it's a good idea just to tell people who you are, because you get to recognize those at home on that. We hopefully, anyone that's home, hope they get to feeling better if they listen to this, and hope you'll be able to meet with us and worship our God. Thank you.
This morning, in the way of announcements this morning, we want to welcome everyone to our services this morning, and welcome all the visitors we have with us also. We remember all the ones that's on the prayer list, especially when we remember my wife, Holly. She'll be having some different tests coming up and other things coming up, and we remember her during that. Also, we want to remember Nancy Tolliver, where she fell and she had some stitches and stuff like that. We remember her also, but we especially remember all the ones that's on the prayer list and all the different ailments they have going on with them at this time. Of course, we want to remember our Bible studies that's going on. We remember our Sunday morning Bible study. Right now, Brother Dave is the one teaching, and he's started in 1 Peter. I encourage you to look that over and be able to study along with us on that. Also, the ladies are having their evening classes on Sunday evening over the phone. I encourage the ladies to jump on the phone for that. And they're in 1 Kings tonight. Their first. Of course, they're doing the midweek on Wednesday nights. They're doing the Book of Revelations. I know that there are some flyers in the back on the, I believe it was still in the back on the seat, that covers that lessons on Wednesday night. And if you don't have a copy of that, I encourage you to get that. Oh, okay. Okay. Of course, like I said, then we have our gospel meeting coming up here in April. That'll be April the 21st through the 23rd. That'll be on a from at 7 p.m. each evening with Terry Townsend. He's the preacher over at New Concord, and I encourage you to come for that. Also, there's all kinds of area events going on that Holly has in the bulletin, at least that we have knowledge of. And we learned yesterday that, because a few of us went to the Men's Inspiration Day at Noble Park, and we had a good day over there. And I believe they told me there was 104 there in attendance. So that's really good for all that right there. But I found out yesterday that New Concord's having their Golden Agers Day there in April. And that'll be April 6th. I'm sure there's going to be some flyers coming out and stuff like that coming to us. But I did have one given to me, so that way we'll know what's actually going on. And it's going to go on at April the 6th, that first Saturday in April. I think that's about everything I hope. Then we also, too, we're having a diaper shower for Taylor Offman, and we're her new arrival, and they're asking that that all be brought in by March the 10th.
That's next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yep.
Okay.
All right. I think that's about everything I have. Is there anything else that maybe I've overlooked or need to add? Or if there's not, then I'll ask you to everyone to stand, and we'll have our closing prayer. Just